I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 27, the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 27. Numbers, chapter 13, verse 27 reads this way. It says, "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your church, and Lord, calling upon you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. Speak to our hearts, Lord, increase our faith, and Lord, may you bless us that we might grow in your grace and truly be the witnesses of your great grace by experience, Lord, that we might share your love for us to one another and to the lost world, that they might truly see the witness of your grace and your blessings in our life. Again, guide us tonight to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "This is the fruit of it." This is the fruit of it. And this is important because Jesus said that if you were abiding in him, we would bear fruit. And God wants us to be the witnesses of his promises. And so tonight, our text brings us to the place of confirming the promised land of God or denying it, confirming it. By the way, let's be reminded, who are these people that were saying, "Look, this is the fruit of it"? They were not. It wasn't Joshua and Caleb. It was the 10 that rejected the idea of entering into the promises of God. And so tonight, I want us to consider what God is wanting to do in the life of every believer, and that is to bring us to a place, listen, that only God can bring us into. Did Abraham know the way, or did God simply say, "Follow me"? Amen? Right? Did Joseph know the way? Did he know he was going to be sold into Egypt? Did he know that God was going to mean it for good? He didn't know that, but he believed and he trusted the Lord. And likewise, in your life and mine, Jesus says, "Follow me." We need to be careful. The Bible's full of verses in Scripture that tell us not to lean to our own understanding, not to walk by sight, but by faith. And so tonight, as we consider this, realize this: God is wanting to do a work in your life personally, in my life personally, something that will bless me, something that will bless you, something that will excite you, something that will encourage you in your relationship with God. Now, here's the truth. Ready? Here's the truth. God is not wanting any of us to do anything for him in our own power. Is that true? Listen to that again. God is not wanting any of us to do anything for him in our own power. But he is wanting us to do things in his power, is he not? In fact, he told Peter this. He says, "After thou art converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren." After thou art converted. Well, he was already saved. We're not talking about that kind of a conversion. But after he was to get to the understanding of how he was to do things in the power of God, then he was going to strengthen the brethren. Question: did Peter have a testimony of the power of God in his life after the resurrection, after Pentecost? He did, didn't he? And did he encourage the other believers? He did encourage them. And we have two epistles written by Peter by the Holy Spirit that are penned down throughout all history, because the Word of God, listen, will never fail. The Word of God will always exist. Is that not true? So that which God did in the life of Peter will last throughout all eternity. And also that which God wants to do through your life and mine, because it is the power of God, will also last to the glory of God throughout all eternity. And we thank the Lord for that. So I want to look at a couple of things right here tonight. Three quick thoughts: the truth reported, and then I couldn't come up with a good point, so I called it the nevertheless part. Amen. The nevertheless part. Alliterate. All right. So I wasn't going to alliterate it, but it is the nevertheless part, because we need to be careful about the nevertheless part. This is the promise of God, but nevertheless, I'm weak. Don't do that. Don't do that. This is what God has said, but nevertheless, I can't. That is not where God wants us. So that's the nevertheless part.
And then the devil's lie believed, and what happened because of this lie, what happened not only to the people who didn't believe what God was saying and believed the devil's lie, but what it did, what their witness did to the rest of the congregation in not experiencing the power of God. So let's look at a couple of things tonight. Let's back up here, if you will, with me to verse 23, and notice the truth reported. Verse 23 says this, "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes." Listen to this, one cluster of grapes. You've gone to the grocery store and bought one cluster of grapes before, right? You can carry that easily in two hands, easily, probably in one hand, no problem at all. But this is one cluster of grapes that they cut down from thence. Listen, a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought it, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So this cluster, they had to mount on a staff, right, between two people. So that was a big group of grapes. And then look at verse 24. The place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And notice this, they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Here it is. Look, they're doing good so far. Look at the fruit of the, look at this. They were impressed. They said, hey, take a look at this. And they told him and said, verse 27, "We came unto the land whether thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Man, what a testimony. But what happened? Well, that's what we're going to get to now. This is the nevertheless part. Listen, oh, God is such a great God. Nevertheless, he can't do much with me. Oh, the promises of God are glorious. Nevertheless, they're not for me, and probably not for you. That's really going to encourage everybody, isn't it? That's really going to glorify the Lord. That's really going to reveal the power of God, right? So listen, remember what he said about the light of the world? We're the light of the world. And should we hide it? Unbelief will hide the light of the world. And that's the light of Christ inside every believer. And so notice the nevertheless part. Unfortunately, it's here, but we're going to look at it. Look at verse 28. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Boy, I tell you what, if they didn't let out the air out of that balloon, they surely did it now, didn't they? I mean, what a question. What are they looking to? They're themselves, what they see, what they understand, they're leaning to their own understanding. And what are they doing in the process of doing that? They are neglecting the promise of God. Did you realize that? Listen, you and I cannot take hold of the promises of God without faith in Him. We cannot take hold of the promises that are intended for you and I to have without placing our faith or our trust, not in ourselves, not in what we think, but in what He has already said and has already promised. And so we come to the nevertheless part. Again, he says, look at all the people. They're all over the place. And verse bottom of verse 29 again, "And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." But notice, in the midst of this confusion, in the midst of this really the nevertheless part, there's a small voice of faith in God that chimes in here in verse 30. And notice what it says here. "And Caleb," listen to this, "stilled the people." So if Caleb is stilling the people, what is happening to the people of God? Are they a little bit confused? Are they a little bit disillusioned now? Are they a little bit unsure of the promises of God? Are they walking in less faith to the things of God? They're unsure now. And so obviously there was a stir amongst the people, and Caleb is stilling them. And notice he says before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." You know what Caleb knew? And by the way, how do you think he knew it? The same way any of us know anything about God, God was revealing it to him. And so what was happening was, Caleb said, if we don't go right now, we're not going to go. He could tell where the people, let's go. And why did he have the commission and the command to go? Because God said to. And so had they obeyed, I believe God would have delivered that, and they would have entered into the promised land. By the way, listen. And again, please listen. Tonight, God is wanting us to see this and how he wants to work in your life and mine. And what we have to do is we have to ask God this. Help me to understand, God. Show me how you want to give me your power and how you want to bring me. Does God want to bring his people today into his promised land, into the promises of God? What are the promises of God? What is the fruit of it? Well, it's the peace of God. It's the joy of God. It's the love of God that we have, that we should have one toward another. Not our love. Our love, you know, if we wrong each other, our love, that's about the end of our love. Amen. I mean, I'm serious. Don't answer this out loud. Have you ever been mad at another believer? If you'd say, no, I've never been mad at another believer, you hadn't been saved long. Amen. Because it doesn't take long to because we're human beings and we're not perfect. And then here's what we do. Ready? Here's what we do. And they're a Christian. Don't tell me if you ever said that. I'll tell you, I said it. And they're a Christian, right? But so are we. And don't we make mistakes? And haven't we failed? So what God is wanting to do is he's trying to show us the way. Is he not? Who's the way? He's the way. And so he's wanting us to have this fruit. What fruit? Well, peace and joy. Right? And so here's the whole thing. If we're complaining, is that God's joy? Is that God's peace? So we've missed it somewhere. God says, but I'm giving you my joy, not the joy of the world, my peace, not the peace of the world. So right then and right there is the time to stop and say, God, it's not, what am I misunderstanding? Show me. And here's the thing, ready? Whatsoever things that you ask God, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. So, Lord, help me to say, this is not right. You've said, I'm going to abide in you, and you're going to abide in me, and you're going to bear your fruit. This is the fruit of it, right? And so I'm not going to look at the giants or the obstacles or the impossibilities to my flesh and to my strength. I'm going to look to you and then believe that is that God's promise to bring us into these places? The faith part is us believing God. Okay, God, I've asked you for it. You said you would not hold any good thing, isn't that true, from your children? So I'm going to believe you and walk. That's the faith part. That's right. But you know what? A lot of God's people aren't doing the faith part. Oh, well, I didn't see it. Well, they didn't see the parting of the Red Sea until they were going towards it. And the Egyptians were on their trail. And so here it is, ready? If we're not careful, we go through the day and then we say, man, oh man, what a day I had. Well, where's Jesus? Did he leave you? Where's his joy? You see, if we're not careful, we get caught up in what the world is caught up in because we're looking to the same thing that the world is looking to instead of keeping our eyes on the promises of God. And saying, Lord, this is not right for me. You have told me that I am a royal priesthood. I'm a peculiar people. Why? Because of your salvation. You have given to me things that the world doesn't have and doesn't know anything about. But what a sad testimony if that's also true for the child of God. Well, the peace of God, what's that? The love of God when people are unkind to me, what's that? Well, then there's a problem, isn't there? And God's not saying, okay, now you muster up your strength and you love those people that don't love you. And those people that spit at your face and those people that whip you with the cat of nine tails and those people that give you gall to drink. And then you say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, and really mean it in your strength. We will never do that. But question, can we do that by the Spirit of God? If not, let's just pack up and go home and do something else. We either believe what God is saying, or we're playing games and fooling our own selves. We're playing Christianity instead of saying, wait a minute, listen, if you buy something at the store brand spanking new, and you paid a lot of money for it, and it doesn't work, you're just going to keep it? You just bought it, just walked out the door with it. You know, multiplex demodulator. I don't know what that is, but anyway. And it doesn't work. And you pay thousands of dollars for it. wouldn't you go back and say, it doesn't work? Fix it or give me a new one. How much was the price for our salvation? And we need to bring it to the proprietor who will show us what we are doing wrong and why it's not working. Have you ever done that? Bought something and said, this doesn't work. And someone said, well, it didn't work because you forgot to flip this switch right over here, and then it works. Then you kind of feel like this big, right? But that's okay, because you know what? We're happy now because it's working. Amen. And God wants to make it work. And so God will show us how the switch is flipped if we'll bring it to him. But please don't stay home and keep that costly thing that was purchased for the glory of God and it's not working. Bring it to the Lord and watch what he will show us. All right. So here we find the nevertheless part. We see the still small voice. But look at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, listen to this. He said, we're able. Let's go get it. Verse 31, but the men, the other nine, or the whole ten anyway, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Who are they looking to? Not God. We are not able to do it. Listen, we can't do anything for God that will glorify his name. We cannot do anything. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We can do all kinds of things. Here's what we can do. Ready? We can have an argument out in the parking lot, walk through those doors, and a miraculous thing happening. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. How's everything? Great, man. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. We can fail out there and turn a switch on when we come in here and fool everybody. No, we're just fooling ourselves. We're just fooling ourselves. And God says, he didn't save fools. He saved children to glorify his name. And so the problem is, we're not taking it to him and saying, it's not working, Lord. Show me how this works. Let me hear from you, and you show me. Do you think God wants to answer that prayer? Absolutely he does. He wants us to know. And so when it's not working, he said this, listen, by the love that you have one toward another. And look, we have a very caring, very compassionate, very kind people at Northwood Baptist Church specifically. Very generous, very kind, all right? But the truth is, don't we have our limits? Can't you be crossed and get your feelings at least hurt and upset? So, see the difference here. We do have very, very generous, loving people. But what we need, and let me just say this, what God wants to give us is his love, his peace, his joy. Do you see the difference? I'm going to tell you, this is one of the best churches as far as people go that I have ever been in. And I'm not just saying that. I really mean it, all right? I mean, I've been in pastoring, you know, churches that were good to their pastor, but I'm just telling you, and to the family and to one another. But I have, you know, a lot of times you can find people that will be good to the pastor and they don't get along very well. But I've seen a lot of good things amongst everybody. Isn't that good? But even as good as that is, we need the love of God. Amen. And the joy of God that he wants to give us. So we find this objection here. Look at verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Did you see this? These ten bring this evil report. Why is it evil? Was it not the truth? Why? What made it evil? Unbelief in God. Unbelief in God made it evil because it contradicted what God said he was going to do for them. The evil brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. You go there, they're going to eat you thereof. And the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And notice, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, how do they know that? Did you see that conclusion they drew? Do you think they went up to one of those giants and said, "You know what? Compared to you, I look like a grasshopper. Do you think I look like a grasshopper as you look down at me?" Do you think they had that conversation? But he just said there, and they said, did you see what it said right there? Notice this. He says, in the bottom of verse 33, "And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Or maybe they're just saying this, because that's the way I saw it. No doubt that's the way they saw it as well. And so however you go to slice it, the problem with that is they drew a conclusion. And they left out something in the equation, and that was God. Right? So fathom this thought. What was it that led the people out of Egypt to freedom? Was it Moses all by himself and Aaron? In their own strength, right? They led all those people out. No. Where did the 10 plagues come from? Who did that? God did that. But wait a minute. Wait. Don't let this pass. What was the vehicle that God used? Mortal man. To glorify himself. Amen. Do you know that's still the prescribed mode? Do you know that God still wants to glorify himself? Right. Listen, through your life and mine. Right. Not by our power. God, listen, do you know what worship that brings if we will just watch, if we will call upon the God of heaven who's promised his power in our lives? That God, may you give me your love and your peace that you promised me. Do you think he'll answer that prayer? Lord, that I might have your peace. Lord, that I would not, hold on to your hats here, that I would not complain, but that I would see your hand. Do you see the difference? Do you know why Joseph went everything he went through the way that he did? Because he saw it coming from the Lord. Do you know why his brothers did not understand that? Because they never saw it coming from the Lord. They always saw what they could do, what they could manipulate, what they could connive, and what they could come up with, and what their plans were. But they never followed God's. So even at the end, and by the way, let's not... Jacob, he was a dealer too, wasn't he? He was making all kinds of deals all the time. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. So he did. Until he was coming back home. And even then he was still manipulating. But then be reminded, he threw the towel in when Joseph revealed himself and sent the wagons. And he never, listen, the old Jacob would have said, "You rotten scoundrels, lied to me all these years." But he didn't do that. "It is enough. God's peace. My son Joseph is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." And by the way, God gave him 17 more years. All right, very quickly, and we'll finish up here. The devil's lie believed. Look at verse 1, chapter 14. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Did that affect the people? "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses," all the children, did you hear that? "And against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness." How far are the promises of God from these people? You couldn't put them any further away, and yet they were right in front of it. Listen. Were they not standing right in front of the promised land that the others just came out of? And yet they might as well have been back in Egypt already. "And wherefore hath the Lord," verse 3, "brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" No, it was not better. But listen, how they came to that. It would be better for us to be back in Egypt. No, it wasn't. Listen, their unbelief said, "God's brought us here to kill us and our children." Was that the truth? If they would have obeyed the Lord, would God have let them down? What was their faith or trust in? Themselves and not in God. Can't we be guilty of the same thing? Verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Wow. What a horrible place for God's people to be. Quick question. What was their witness? What was the witness of the ten? What did they do to the heart of the congregation? Did it not cause it to fail? Fail God? Question, what is our witness tonight concerning the promises of God? No, not what we think it is. What is the world seeing? What is the world seeing in our lives? Are they seeing us, I'm a Christian, so I need to do this and be careful and watch this and watch that? Or are they seeing the everlasting power of God's Holy Spirit having His way in your life and mine? And if not, and just listen, does God want you to be complaining in all things or to give thanks in all things? To give thanks. If we're complaining, is that the Spirit of God? That's our spirit saying, God, you've messed up here. Would I die? I would never say that. Well, that's what we're saying. God, you let me go here. You messed up here, God. I know we were saying I would never say that or think that, but you don't have to. Those people that were murmuring, is that not what they were saying? Question, let's just do it. Is God happy with that? Was God happy with them? He won't be happy with us either when we're complaining. What is it that we see every day in our lives? Is it God? Or is it the things that aren't going the way we would like them to go? That's important. Do we see our problems and miss the promises of God? Or are we seeing God and His promises that He intends to have in the lives of His people, His peace, His joy, the fruit of the land, of His land? That's what God intends to bring us into. So what's important? Listen, and we'll close here. Is it important to study the Word? Yes. But even more important than studying the Word is studying the living Word. You follow? Because it is the living Word that changes our lives. What is the living Word? Who is the living Word? Jesus. Lord, I need to study your ways. See, because the Pharisees studied the Word, but they didn't study the living Word. Moses studied the living Word. The people did. Caleb and Joshua understood the living Word. See, Jacob's sons understood the Word. Did they not? It's because of this evil that we have done to our brother. They confess when they were thrown in prison, when Joseph had them thrown in prison. They knew their sins. But see, Joseph knew the living Word. See, the Pharisees knew the Word, but they didn't know the living Word. They crucified Him. And if we're not careful, we can do the very same thing. So what God is wanting to give you and I is Himself through salvation and through everyday life. And that is ours, really, for the asking. So tonight, we're going to close in prayer, but here it is. Whatever it is that you're holding, you're saying, this is the fruit of it. This is either the fruit of my flesh, or this is the fruit of God. This is either the fruit of my work, or this is the fruit of the work of God in me. So tonight, what is the fruit that you want? You want yours or God's? The opportunity really is ours. God gives the invitation and says, take of me. Take of me and watch the difference that He makes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder of the blessings and the promises that You want to bring us into. Lord, may we not reason with ourselves or look to ourselves, but may we truly call upon You to open up our hearts and minds to receive all of Your promises and to walk in them, that You might be honored and glorified, that our lives might truly be blessed, where we would stand in awe and the world would look and see the God of all humanity and the Savior of the world, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be careful to give You all the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.